All right. How many of you are still trying to get warm? Anybody like that out there? Okay. The Yankees are comfortable. It's those Southerners that we have trouble with. Proverbs chapter number 20 in your Bibles this morning. You know, it's true, though. Isn't it funny how sometimes you take sunshine for granted when you have it all the time, but when you don't have it for a while and you have it, that memory comes back, you know? And, you know, the things in our life, in our Christian life that we've learned of the Lord, we need to be reminded of them, because if you're always, if life is always good and perfect and you never have any complications or troubles, you forget what it's like to have a lot of blessings from God. And so really, the trials of our life have a way of making us grateful for the blessings. And that's why the Apostle Paul got to the point where he thanked God for the trials, because he knew the trials awakened his senses to the blessings that God had given him. Now, that doesn't always make sense to us, but to God it makes sense. Amen? So thank God for the sunshine. That's free. You don't have to put anything in the offering for that this morning, all right? That's free. All right, Proverbs chapter 20. We're walking through the scriptures, and we have been on a, it's going on a seven-year Bible study, just walking through the Bible, scripture by scripture. And so here we are, Proverbs chapter 20. I did my math, okay? I did my math. By the time we get to the end of Revelation, of just walking through the Bible, I'll be 78 years old. Can you put up with me that long? That's young. You made it this far. Well, I'm certainly going to try and see whatever the Lord does on that subject. Amen. All right, let's begin. Proverbs chapter 20. Now, our lesson today is entitled this: Wisdom causes us to make honorable choices. Wisdom causes us to make honorable choices. So let's look, begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Let's stop there this morning. We'll pray, and then we'll get into the lesson today. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, most of all, thank you for speaking to us through thy word and our hearts. Thank you, Lord, we can have hearts that can be touched by thy word and touched for the needs, Lord, of others in this world. And so, Lord, take the lesson this morning, we ask, and help us, encourage us in thy word. Teach us thy word, Lord, this morning. But most of all, help us to open our hearts to the word today, that, Lord, your word would land on good ground, that it would produce fruit that would grow up in our own lives. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, Proverbs is unusual in its format, more unusual than any other book of the Bible. You can't compare the format of Proverbs to any other book of the Bible. Now, someone may look at that and wonder, why is Proverbs like that? Well, it is the one book of the Bible, not that all books are not this way, but is the one book of the Bible that is born out of one particular man asking God for wisdom. And of course, that's Solomon. And again, you know that story. God came to him and said, Solomon, ask for anything you want. Have you ever wondered if God asked you that question, what would you ask for? You know, you ever thought of that? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we would consider thinking about. But Solomon chose wisdom. And he chose wisdom because the king of Israel, and by the way, he succeeded his father David on the throne. And so that throne was the greatest nation on the earth at the time. And so Solomon had this deep understanding, if I'm going to run this thing right, I need wisdom. And it's also embedded in the understanding that he as a human did not possess all the wisdom he needed. You know, it's easy for us to depend on our own wisdom, isn't it? But oftentimes when we do that, we fail. So what we're seeing in Proverbs here is a man that humbly asked God for wisdom above everything else. And he's saying, Lord, I need your wisdom because I don't have all the wisdom I need. And I need to rely on your wisdom. And so from that produced God using Solomon. Now, a king in Bible days was three things. He was a judge. He was a king. And he was a lawgiver. He was all three, executive, legislative, and judicial. By the way, that's where America got the idea of executive, legislative, and judicial. They got it from the Bible. Our country was formed because men had enough wisdom to know that if we pattern it after the Bible, we're tapping into God's wisdom here. And if we tap into God's wisdom, we're going to get some wisdom in our life. And for 400 years, this country has maintained its constitution. Now, the forces of evil are working hard to destroy it today, aren't they? It's trying to be undermined, attacked from all sides. But it is a picture to us that in the Bible, this king had executive, legislation, judicial powers. And so the people of Israel would come to him, even on a daily basis. They would stand before the king, he would sit on his throne, and they would present the problem necessary for an answer to be solved. And of course, we remember the one story of how the two women brought one baby, and the one woman said, this is my baby, and the other woman said, no, this is my baby. And you can see one pulling on the leg and the other pulling on the arm. Don't do that to a baby. Amen? And you can see this baby. Well, wisdom then generated the answer. Wisdom said, all right, let's just cut the baby in half. You can have half the baby and you can have the other half of the baby. Now you say, where's the wisdom in that? The wisdom is in that Solomon knew the real mother would allow her own child to live even in the hands of another mother rather than to die. And so that one mother said, no, give it to her. She can have it. Thereby Solomon, through wisdom, understood who the real mother was. But wouldn't it be great to have that in our life, even in our everyday situations? I mean, when you go to buy a car, wouldn't you like to have that kind of wisdom? you might get your payment lower if with some wisdom. Oh, don't fall over the edge here. But wouldn't it be interesting to know if we can find more wisdom, put it in our heart like a deep well, and then pull it up in life as we need it in situations we deal with. I think that's the value of a heart of wisdom, gaining wisdom in our life. So what we're seeing is judgments of a king leading his people, leading his country with this wisdom, and it became the greatest nation of earth, on earth, at the time of Solomon. So wisdom proves its value, doesn't it? Amen. It proves its value. Okay, so now let's break it down. We're going to look at each individual truth here that Solomon came across and established as points of wisdom. And by the way, do not forget this. This passage is inspired by God. So God inspired this wisdom for Solomon. And so what we're seeing is God's wisdom, ultimately, not just Solomon's. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Number 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, here's the first honorable choice declared in the passage. Number 1, choosing to avoid wine and strong drink. Now, that's a choice. That's a choice, but it is a wise choice to stay away from wine and any kind of alcohol. Strong drink, that's what the Bible is saying. You say, now we have a problem, we have an issue today of people who think that it's okay to social drink. Okay, and here's why social drinking is unwise. Is because of what the passage teaches that alcohol does and creates in us. It can create an addiction, it can create this dependence upon it where the mind pushes all other responsibilities in life aside and focuses only on the feeling that the alcohol gives. I want that constant feel, I want that feeling. It leads to poverty. Now, here's why social drinking is unwise. It's unwise because it puts us closer to that pathway of straying from the Lord. Now you say, how do you know that? This is biblical in the verse. So look at the rest of the verse. And notice the Bible says here, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do you know what the word deceived means in this passage? The word deceived in the passage means going astray. Going astray. He's saying here that alcohol can make us go astray. Can make us go astray. Now, listen, society doesn't tell us this, right? Society produces the picture, oh, it's great and it's fun. How many commercials do you see of the guy in the ditch vomiting his guts out? You see that? And here's why, because it's deceitful. It appears like it's a good thing. But let me tell you something. Scripture declares that it will lead a person astray. Lead a person astray. So here's the honorable choice. The honorable choice is to say, it's the plague. I'm not getting close to it. I know a man that, thank God delivered him from alcohol. He was drunk and God delivered him. Thank God for that. Amen. And there are examples in life, but there's also examples when people don't get delivered. They ruin their life, ruin their families, ruin so many things in life. And so God, through Solomon's wisdom, is warning us about this fact that it leads us astray. It can lead us in this path that is it's going to affect us in our life. And that's the wisdom. God isn't trying to prevent us from good things in our life. It's the opposite. He's trying to promote what's good in our life, when if we stay away from certain things, that will bless us. Amen? It's a fact. Now, we know this according to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 21. This may surprise some of you, but the Bible declares when Noah got off the ark, he got drunk. He did. And he got off the ark, he got drunk, and he got naked, the Bible tells us. And that nakedness, his son saw his nakedness, and it brought him shame. Where's the honor in that? Where's the honor there? We also have the example here in Proverbs chapter 23. Go look over there, Proverbs chapter 23, and look at verse 20 real quick. Proverbs 23 and verse number 20. It says here, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, Solomon is teaching this in the form of his son. And he's giving instructions to his son. And he's saying, don't hang around people that are drunk all the time. It's not wise. It's not wise. You know, just because God tells us it's wise or unwise does not mean that we automatically make the choice. We have to make the choice. God presents the wisdom. We have to hold on to it. Now, you can discard it if you want. You can say, Lord, whatever, this is what I want to do. But the results will still be the same. And so God's saying, hey, listen, alcohol is one of those things, just don't even touch it. And by the way, it even says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. No, let's go there. Let's go there. Look at verse 29. 23, 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it move itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. See, God said, don't even look at this stuff. God's saying there's a destructive potential in it. And somebody says, well, I just can control it. But the truth is, even though you can control it, you're getting closer to it controlling you. And that's what Scripture's trying to teach us about it. God's saying, don't even look at it. I don't even want to look at it. When I'm in the grocery store, I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to see it on the store. I don't want to look at it. And this, again, is this wise choice about what we do in life. God never forces us to do it. God's not going to twist our arm behind your back and say, you're going to do this. God is never does that. But he does tell us, okay, this is wise. You can choose it if you want, and if you do, you'll be blessed. Or you can reject God's word and have to face results and consequences. Well, I can tell you, just as a pastor, how much alcohol affects and destroys people's lives. Families, homes, how much it just undermines all the good that a home can produce. And so there's a point of wisdom. And the wisdom in this particular one isn't the wisdom of don't choose it. It's stronger. It's a warning that it's destruction. It can bring great destruction in our life. So God's teaching us that, and we have to have the wisdom to accept what he says. Amen? Amen. All right, let's move on. Number three. Again, now each one of these truths of wisdom do not necessarily connect with the next. Okay, so shift your mind a little bit here in what we're talking about. Verse 3. Go back here. Verse 3, it is honor for a man to cease from strife but every fool will be meddling. I wrote this down. The honorable one is the one that stops the strife. You know, wherever there's strife, we all have a human nature. How about road rage? Somebody ever made you mad out there on the highway? I was driving down the highway, and man, there were two cars in front of me. They were going at it. I was like, I'm backing off. I'm back here. I'm getting way over in this lane. Y'all do your thing. And they both decide, a left lane, I-35, they both decide, pull over. They're pulling over on the inside lane. Inside shoulder. They're pulled over on the inside shoulder. Now, I don't know what came of the altercation because I was on the right lane. I was cruising on by. But, you know, I got to thinking, that's really foolish. It's really foolish. You know, the honorable person is the one who says, I don't need to have that strife. I don't need to have that in my life. Now, the devil will tell you you're the wimpy one, right? The devil will tell you by backing off, you're succumbing or giving in. That's not what Scripture teaches. It's not what God says. What God's saying is the one who allows that strife to stop, that is the honorable person. Amen? You know what? In our lives, our homes, and sometimes even in a home, there's a lot of strife. But you know, I've learned this about a marriage. It takes two to argue. And if one won't argue, there's no arguments. Right? Now, that's just kind of down home, bottom of the basics truth. But, you know, years ago, my wife knew a couple good Christian people. Love the Lord. And the wife said this. Now they're older, and I think they passed away by now. But the wife said this. She said this. She said, I've tried to get my husband to fight with me, but he won't do it. So we just decide to have a happy life. Now that is such simple wisdom, isn't it? But boy, if we put it into our lives, we put that practice, whenever those feelings of anger or volatility or somebody stepping on me or I didn't get my way in this and I'm mad about it and I'm going to say it. That is not what God is saying is the honorable choice. The honorable choice is to just let it die. You know, half of the things we get upset about really don't matter. A hill of beans. Right? I've known churches that have split because somebody wanted a different color of toilet paper in the restrooms. Really? So there's a wisdom there. But now notice the truth a little deeper. Okay, here's the truth. If you look at it a little deeper, there's this acknowledgement that we all have a sinful nature, right? That we all have this nature that says, I want my way. Now, I know none of you are like that, but us Baptist preachers, we're like that. We want our way. We're all that way, aren't we? We all want our way. And when we don't get that way, there's something inside of us that just wants to well up. But hear me, this principle is teaching us that there is honor in choosing to not allow strife to be there. Okay, now look at the rest of the verse, verse 3. But every fool will be meddling. I looked up the word meddling. You know, sometimes scripture words do not mean the same as our modern day vocabulary. And this is one of those words. The word meddling is the word obstinate or headstrong or bullheaded. Anybody know anybody that's bullheaded? I won't look. I'm not looking. Okay, you can put your hands down. I didn't see a thing, okay? I want to tell you something. Everybody can be bullheaded sometimes. Don't point fingers. Amen. But isn't that the truth? We can all be bullheaded sometimes. This is what it's talking about. It's talking about this saying, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do my, you're going to, this is how it's going to be. You know, now understand this. When it comes to Bible truth and scriptural truth, there should be a bit of obstinacy in our mind and our heart. Because God's truth doesn't change. It's eternal. And we ought to hold on to it dearly. Okay? So don't equate this point with the holding on to scriptural truth, believing the Bible, believing what's true and right. But when it comes to our everyday choices of having things our way, it is an honorable thing. Hear me. It's an honorable thing to not have that mindset where I'm going to be bullheaded about it. Hey, listen. God's saying choose a different mind. Choose a different mind. Obstinate people have a hard time letting things go. And nine times out of ten, it's not about a major matter. And it's not of something of importance. So it behooves us to say, Lord, that's wisdom. I'm going to follow wisdom. Some things really don't matter in life. It's better to live peaceably, eliminating strife. In fact, that's the honorable choice that God's presenting to us here. Okay, let's move on. I saw conviction, so we got to move on. All right? Okay. All right. Number four. Verse four. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Now, I wrote this down. It's honorable to choose temporary discomfort for permanent benefit. Let me say that again. It's honorable to choose temporary discomfort for permanent benefit. You know, there are things in our life. Life is all about choices. That's all it is. It's about what we choose. So we have to have the right mindset when it comes to making choices. And that mindset is embedded in this understanding that God's way and his will is always good and right. If you have that mindset when you're making choices in life, then there are times when it's not going to be comfortable. There are going to be times when you come to church and the heat don't work. Right? I didn't intend to preach on that. I thought the heat would be working when I had it. But anyhow, there it is. Okay, so he's talking about a guy here. He said, oh, it's too cold. I can't go work. Well, then harvest comes. And he doesn't have any food because he chose comfort on that day. Now, hear me. Life is really about making choices of uncomfort initially so that there can be greater benefits and blessings later on. Amen. That's wise. Now, there's a little deeper mentality here. And the deeper mentality is this understanding that I don't want to be impulsive in my choices of life. You know, it's okay to be impulsive. If you want to grab a dollar candy bar, you know, in the store, that's why they put them there, right? They put them there while you're checking out so that while you're standing behind that person with three grocery carts, that you'll see. By the way, during COVID, I found out a way to make the line shorter. If you've got five people in front of you, just start coughing. People start looking around, they go to another line. The line gets short real quickly. Amen. Just, I don't know if there's any wisdom involved in that, but it sure was interesting, so I threw it out there. But okay, so here we go. We've got this idea that I should not be impulsive in my decisions. There's a lot of major decisions. There's a lot of intermediate decisions. And then there are just multitudes of minor decisions in life. The major decisions, who we marry in life. Salvation is your most major decision in life that you will ever make. It's a choice of wisdom that God's given us. You can reject Christ or you can be wise and receive him and trust in him. That makes you wise. There's a lot of decisions in life. Then there's these intermediate decisions. Buying a car, maybe. Buying a home or choosing a job. Those type of things in our life. And so here's the understanding I think this verse covers is this understanding, Lord, help me not to be impulsive in these decisions. I think it's good to always just take your time, think through things. Think through everything. Boy, that car dealer will want you to come down and buy that car right now. Hey, go home and pray about it. Go home and pray about it. Think about it. Sleep on it. Allow God even to change your mind. You know, I figure sometimes if I have a good deal come up and I don't take it and I pray about it and think about it and I come back the next day and it's sold. I think that's just God's will. And we should be good with that because God was keeping us from something potentially, or he's leading us to something better in our life or has a different purpose. And that's why I say if every decision is guided in our mind by God, I want to please you and serve you because you've done so much for me. I need your wisdom. And these choices in life have to be guided by that kind of wisdom for our blessings in life. All right, let's move on. All right, I've got a few minutes here. Let's see here. Verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now notice this particular verse is connected with a colon. It means the first half of the verse is connected with the second half. Okay, so with that understanding, here, the just man walketh in his integrity, connected, his children are blessed after him. Okay, so I wrote this down. Making honorable choices have an influence on our children. Making honorable choices have an influence on our children. And I think the idea here is that our choices as an adult become patterns for our kids. The way we raise our children is when they're growing up, they think that way is true and right and good. They think that that is how their life should be. And do you know how many cycles of people have trouble in their life? Because generation after generation, some false idea or some way of living pattern is transferred generation after generation. And it brings trouble and destruction generation after generation after generation. And I think this verse is a cure for that in that when God saves a person, they want to put that old life behind. That's honorable. Amen. And they want to live a new life in Christ. They want to follow God's principles. They want to live for God. But here's what this does, and what Scripture's teaching is, this then becomes that pattern for our children. I have 7 children. I didn't wake up today and tell any of them to get up and go to church today. But they're all in church. Or they better be, or they're in big trouble. Right? But they're all in church today. I didn't wake up and tell them, you know what? It started first week they were born. They were in that church nursery. They don't know any better. And I'm thankful for that. Because what that did is, it created this pattern in their life of good. Now, if you take that principle and apply it to any area in life, what about when somebody does you wrong and you turn around and do them good even though you know they did you wrong? You say, that's hard, preacher. I know, but didn't Jesus do that? And remember this about Jesus. The Bible teaches that he left us a pattern. So what he did, we are to pattern our life after what he did. And thereby, that brings us life and life more abundantly. Okay, so it's the same in our life with our children. As we choose God's ways, as we choose to serve the Lord, I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. Let me tell you something. What you're doing is you're setting your children up for a blessed life. And conversely, if, say, a person lives with an addiction in their life, that child grows up thinking that it's okay. They get involved in that addiction in their life. And what happens? Now they have something to overcome. They have a battle in their life then. When the battle could have been patterned differently when they were young. And through that pattern, children are blessed. I think that's what that verse is teaching. You say, boy, I want my children to be blessed. Okay, then start doing the right thing now. Live for God now. Make those honorable choices. They're not always easy, but let me tell you something. What you're doing is you're making your children's choices easier in life. You're not loading them down with a world of difficulty to have to overcome because your pattern already overcame it. Oh, listen, that's an honorable thing. That's an honorable choice. Make that choice. All right, we got time to look at one more real quickly. Verse number eight. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. What in the world is that talking about? Okay, here's a question for you, and it's loaded. Here's a loaded question for you. You ready? Do we live today in a time of kings? Now, don't answer that just yet. Do we live today in a time of kings? Who's got the answer? Anybody got? You're afraid to raise your hand, aren't you? He's pointing at Brother Brandon. Tell us, Brother Brandon.
Yes.
We do live in a time of kings.
Yes.
Wrong. Anybody else got an idea?
Yes.
We don't live in the time of kings? Wrong. If you say no, or if you say yes, you're wrong. Both. Now, wait a minute, preacher. What are you talking about? Here's the point. If you are saved, you live under a king. If you are unsaved, you do not live under a king. He's not your king. When you receive Christ, you got another spiritual governmental authority in your life. And that authority is higher than this earthly authority. And don't we see that in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul, they were trying to throw him in prison for preaching the Bible, and he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So he had a kingly spiritual authority in his life that superseded this earthly authority. Okay, now here's where I'm going with this. Look at verse number 8. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Now, an earthly authority has to scatter away evil by punishing evil. Right? You do the crime, you pay the time. And by the way, God established earthly authority for the purpose of cleansing away evil. Read the book of Romans. All right? All authority comes from God. Okay, but now notice the difference in this kingly authority of God, and this is this. Here's the authority, is that the king, all he has to do is look at evil, and the evil will leave because there rests inside of the Christian this understanding that my heavenly Father is my king. He is my Lord. He's not going to throw me in jail, but all he's going to do, he's going to be very disappointed when I break his heart. And all he has to do is look at me with his eyes. And I'll know what he wants me to do. You know, when you and I live this life where we're submitting to a kingly authority, that is a love relationship. It really is, because the king always wants the best for his subjects, always. And so when we allow the king to work in our heart, a spiritual work, all he's got to do is look at us and say, I've got a different plan for your life. And that is the working in our heart. He doesn't throw us in some jail when we disappoint him. All it takes is a look. How many of you had a dad or a mother or a grandmother that when you did something you shouldn't, they gave you the evil eye? And that was all it took for you to know that you ought to change and do what God wants. And so is choosing honorable truths. Let's choose honorable things. Amen? Amen. Let's make the honorable choice in our life for God's glory and our good. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons this morning. And Lord, help these truths, Lord, settle deep into our heart and our mind, Lord. They can be wellsprings of life when we need them. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.